Our lesson this morning is taken from the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. For those that don't know me, my name is Scott. I'm from the U.S. originally, but I've been in Germany for about 10 years now. I've been blessed here with a beautiful wife and four amazing kids, but to me, I'm just a quiet guy from a small town in South Carolina. I grew up in a village of about 5,000 people, and I was one of seven kids, so I have six siblings. And my home life was turbulent at times. So my dreams for years when I was younger was to get a house of my own in the middle of the woods and just be by myself. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to have to worry about anybody. And then I met Jesus when I was 14, and he started to mess up my plans. I started to realize that there are so many people that need his help and his love, and that hiding in the woods wasn't going to do that for anyone. So now, instead of being in the middle of the woods in a small town, I live in an apartment in downtown from a city of more than 600,000 people. So God has a way of changing what we plan sometimes. And as I started to walk with him, I would think, what could I do? I felt like Moses, trying to explain to God all the reasons why he should choose somebody else. I'm too shy, too sinful, too boring. What could I ever have to offer to anybody? And he kept showing me again and again that it was about what he can offer through me, not about who I am. And since then, I've been on a journey with him. And it hasn't always been smooth sailing. There have been ups and downs. There are seasons where I feel like I'm on fire and I'm hand in hand with him. But there are also seasons where I feel like I'm lost at sea and just struggling to keep my head above the water. And I've seen time and again that we reap what we sow, especially in our spiritual lives. The song we just sang referenced that a little bit. And the Bible talks a lot about this reaping and sowing, pruning and bearing fruit. But do you really know what that means? Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, and Jesus, they all lived in a culture where farming and gardening were very common. There was no McDonald's, Little, or Leaf Rondo for them. And whatever they ate was probably grown by them or someone they knew. And the farming analogies that we see would have been easily understood by almost everyone. The same way that we can talk about sports or media or movies, they would think about farming and growing things like this. And how many of you have done any gardening? Who has a Schrebergarten? For me, this was a very new concept coming to Germany. This is a small garden that you can rent in the middle of the city. And there are some rules about how you take care of it, how much land has to be used for planting, how much you can use for yourself. But it was a very new concept to me. And my grandfather had a small vineyard when I was a kid. My mom always kept a little vegetable garden, and it seemed like it wasn't so much work. So when I heard about the idea, I thought I can do that too. What do you have to do? Put some seeds in the ground, put a little bit of water, and then you just wait for the harvest. It's not that easy. I learned that after a while. And it was so much more work than I imagined, and the most frustrating part for me was pulling weeds. No matter what I did, the weeds would come back. I would pull them regularly. I bought a special fleece to put down that's supposed to block them, and they grew from the top down instead of coming from the bottom up. There was nothing that I could do to keep them away, it felt like. And one day when I was pulling weeds, I've met one of my greatest adversaries in the garden. It's a weed called stinging nettle or brennnessel. This is very common in Romania, also in Germany. And the kids, they always manage to find it. So when I think it's gone, the kids find whatever I left and they come crying because it burns them. And there was one day I was pulling these weeds out for the 100th time of the year, it felt like. And I felt the Holy Spirit asking me, what would my life look like as a garden? And there are some pictures on the screen. And I would ask you to take a moment and think about what would your life look like. Does it look more like the luscious vineyard full of grapes that's producing fruit? Or does it look like the one that's completely overgrown and not taken care of? And if I'm honest, there have been times where my garden is much more like the one that's not growing anything. And that's what I wanted to look at today. And as we go through the sermon, I will reference multiple Bible verses. You don't have to turn to each one. If you have questions, I'm happy to give you the full list afterwards. But if we go back to Galatians 6:7, it says that God is not mocked. He knows what we've put into our garden and how we've taken care of it, and that we'll sow what we reap. It says that the one that sows to his flesh will reap corruption from it, but the one that sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life. But what does that really mean, to sow to the flesh or to the Spirit? Sowing is planting or scattering seeds that they'll grow. And if we go back to our garden analogy, you have to take care of the ground before you can plant something in it. And in our little garden that we rented, I would spend at least one day every year at the beginning of the season with a shovel. I would be turning the ground over. And you do this to get rid of the weeds, to bring nutrients up from the bottom, and to make the soil softer so the new roots can grow and spread more easily. And if we look at this spiritually in the analogy, turning the ground over, preparing the soil, this could be a time of prayer or fasting. It could also be a time of period or confusion, or simply a time of patience where we have to wait for God to call us to the next thing. And the first thing I would say, if we think about our life as a garden, is you need to be careful what you're planting. If we look one chapter back in Galatians 5:19-21, there it talks about sowing to the flesh. These would be things like sexual immorality, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, and jealousy. These are things that I would call weeds in our lives, something that we have to take out by the root, and even if it hurts. Sometimes when I was taking the stinging nettle out, after I was done, my arms would be full of bumps, they would be on fire. But I knew that if I didn't pull them all the way out, there would be more coming back. And it's the same way in our lives. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:29-30, that we need to go to extremes sometimes. He says that if your right eye causes you to sin, better to gouge it out. Or if your right hand causes you to sin, better to cut it off. Better to lose a part of your body than to lose your whole life. And I'm not telling anyone here to harm themselves. I want to be clear about that. But it could be that the Holy Spirit is calling some of us to take extreme measures. If you're struggling to keep your thoughts pure, maybe you should stop reading Build or watching movies with nudity, or going to lakes where the FKK culture is a little bit too much for you. If you're tempted to gossip, maybe you should stop putting yourself in situations where you know that's going to come up. And if you have uncontrollable road rage, maybe it's time to sell your car and take advantage of the 9 euro ticket. Whatever it is, just take a moment and think about what do you need to pull out of your life? What should not be there? And sometimes we do need to take extreme actions. So that's what we see, sowing to the flesh. Paul talks about this a lot in Galatians. And then we also see where Paul talks about sowing to the Spirit. This should be a thing that produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. This is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. We also see this list in Galatians 5:22-23. And if you think back over the last week, just take a moment and try to remember the last week. Do you see more of the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the flesh, if you stop and think about it? For me personally, I've been struggling with anger, and this is something that I never had to deal with before. But now if someone cuts me off in traffic, or the neighbors are too loud at night and disturbing the kids, where the kids themselves are ignoring me and just running around like crazy, my first reaction too often is to respond in anger. And that's something that I have to deal with. I have to pull that out, the anger. So first we need to be careful what we plant, the fruit of this flesh or the fruit of the spirit. And we also need to remember that Jesus produces the good fruit in us. And this is how we grow the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something we can do by ourselves. In John 15, Jesus says that he is the vine and we are the branches. By ourselves, we can't do anything, but with him, we can do all things. And it says that we have to abide in him to be fruitful. And to abide in Christ, it means to follow his example. In 1 John 2:6, it says that the one who remains in Jesus... Let me read it here, I don't want to misquote it. But 1 John 2:6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So we should walk the way that Jesus did. We should also keep his commands. In Galatians 5:14, it tells us that the whole law is kept if we love our neighbors as ourselves and we love God above all. These are things we can do to abide in Christ. And we also need to be ready for pruning. It also talks about this in John 15, that God is the gardener, that he's the one that removes things to make the plant more fruitful. And pruning is not the same thing as pulling weeds. When you prune something, you're cutting parts of the good plant that are taking energy away and not producing fruit. And if we go back to our analogy, what could this look like in our own lives? This doesn't have to be something like sexual immorality or something that's clearly not good. This could be things that by themselves are not a problem. Maybe it's a specific relationship with a person that you're putting above your relationship with Jesus. This could also be a hobby, something like video games or social media, cars or fashion or fitness, things that by themselves are fine, but if you put too much emphasis on them and they're taking you away from serving Christ and serving others. And we have to remember that God is the gardener, that he will do the pruning for us if we stay connected to him. And this is a lifelong process. It's not something that's done once and finished. But as we stay connected to God, he'll help us to slowly let go of those things so that we can be more fruitful for him. And as we go through the garden analogy, we have to remember that real life doesn't always have clearly defined seasons. Here in Germany, it's very steady. Every year we see summer, spring, winter, and autumn. Where I'm from in the US, we don't have all of the seasons. It's normally summer most of the year and a few weeks of cold. And it could be that there are times when we're pulling weeds and we're seeing fruit at the same time, that more things are happening at once. But the important thing is to remember that we need to stay connected to Christ, and that's the way that we become more fruitful. And as we think about our life as a garden, there are two other things that I want to talk about. And the first is, why should we take care of our garden? And the first point here, I would say, is because we're part of the body of Christ. If we go back to the example of the garden club, the garden verein, we're not on an island by ourselves. In these vereins, I had to join a club and agree to a set of rules, what I can plant, what I can't plant, when I can cut my grass, when I can't. There's a set of rules that are supposed to benefit everybody in the club. And in the same way, we're all members of the body of Christ, and we should think about how our actions can affect our brothers and sisters. Because the weeds that are growing in my garden can spread to my brothers and sisters in Christ. In this garden that we signed up for, there were some things like bamboo that we weren't allowed to plant. Because once you plant it, it takes off, you can't control it. There were also specific weeds that if you ever see them, you have to remove them immediately. The same thing, if it starts growing in one garden, it can go to the rest of them. And the same thing in our lives. If there's a hint of sexual immorality or jealousy or anger, this can also spread to the others in the church. And it's something that we need to be aware of. That the way that we live, it can also have an impact on others here with us. And also, if I am not producing enough fruit, that means that other people are going to have to work more to make up for what I'm lacking. So we should remember that we're part of the body of Christ, and also that each of us are ambassadors of Christ to the rest of the world. The way that we live is a reflection of Jesus to those that are watching us. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21. And I would like you also to take a moment and think about, how do you represent Christ to your neighbors or your coworkers or your classmates? When they see you living, what does that make them think about Jesus if they know that you're a Christian? And we're also each given gifts of the Holy Spirit to help build up the church. Paul talks about this in Romans 12, that we're given gifts of prophecy or teaching or service. There's not a single Christian that isn't given a gift through the Holy Spirit. And those are given so that we can help build each other up and help advance the kingdom of God here. And your gift cannot be used effectively if your life is not in order. So maybe there's someone that has the gift of teaching, but he's also addicted to pornography. And he's so ashamed of what's being done in private that he doesn't have the confidence to teach in front of others. Or maybe there's someone with the gift of prophecy, but they spend all day locked in their room watching videos or sleeping or reading Facebook. And they don't have any connection to the other people in the church, so they can't exercise that gift. Or there could be someone that has the gift of serving, but they work 70 hours a week to pay for things that they don't really need. So at the end of the day, they're so burned out, they don't have anything left to give. The way that we live our lives has a direct correlation on how we can serve with the gifts God has given us. And we're still here on earth because we're called to be a light in the darkness, to show others the way to Christ, and to help our brothers and sisters as they're struggling. And this is a privilege that we have, to join Jesus, to be his ambassadors, and to reconcile people to him. So we've thought about our life as a garden. We've talked about why we should care about it, because it has impact on others. And I want to talk a little bit about how we can care for our garden also. We talked before about the fruit of the flesh, and I compared this to weeds that we have to remove. These are things like jealousy and anger and dissension. These are things that have no place in the life of a Christian. But just like the weeds keep coming back in the garden, even when we pull them out, the temptations will be coming back also. Paul tells us in Galatians 6:9 that we must not get tired of doing good, because we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Our pursuit of holiness is never finished. Just like in the garden, we can't till the ground one time and it will be good forever. In our own lives, we can't remove the temptation one time and expect it never to come back. We have to stay vigilant here. And if we stay with this garden analogy, I would say that temptation is like a bad seed that hasn't taken root yet. Is it a sin to be tempted? No. Even Jesus was tempted. We see in Matthew 4 in the wilderness that Satan came at him in different angles. But if we dwell on the temptation that comes, if we keep thinking about it, it can become desire. And if we keep dwelling on that, the desire can take root, and that will produce the weeds and lead to sin in our lives. And Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8, to stay alert, because the devil is like a lion. He's constantly on the prowl looking for someone to devour. And he'll keep blowing the seeds of temptation into our lives, into our garden. And we have to pay attention and to get rid of these as soon as possible before they can take root and become a bigger problem. And I want us to walk through a couple of real life examples. What can this look like to remove weeds from our lives, to deal with temptations that are coming? One example I thought of is lust. This probably will speak to the guys more, but it could apply to anyone. Let's say you're in town minding your own business, and a beautiful woman walks by. Seeing her is not a sin. Noticing she's beautiful is not a sin. Those are normal things. But it could be that there is a seed of temptation here and you have a choice. You can carry on, or you can stop and stare, or take another look, or take a picture to think about later in your mind. And Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 that we should take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And in a situation like this, Are the thoughts that you have about the woman obedient to Christ? Do they honor the woman, or her father, or her husband, or your wife or future wife? In James 4:7, we're told to submit to God, to resist the devil, and he will flee. And in Philippians 4:8, Paul tells us to dwell on things that are true and honorable and holy. The way that we think has a big impact on how we act. And we can also use the example of Jesus from Matthew 4. When he was presented with temptations, he spoke against them with scripture. In the case of lust, you could use Matthew 5:28, that everyone that looks on a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You can rebuke the thoughts. You can say, I don't want anything to do with that. And those are things that have to be done very early. And another example could be gossip. Maybe one of your high school classmates is getting divorced. And there could be a temptation here to speculate on why, to discuss your theories with everybody else you know. What if she didn't take care of herself, or the home, or she wasn't a good mom, or maybe she was unfaithful? All of these things that you have no idea if they're true or not, but you just talk about them with everybody else. That would be one choice. Or the other, to use her pain as a chance to make yourself feel better. My life is better than that, and to talk about it with other people also. And these are things that are not good for anyone. A better way would be maybe to reach out to her, to pray for her, or to rebuke those that you hear gossiping about her. These are also things that need to be cut in the very beginning. The more you let them have a little bit of space in your life, the more that they'll take over and spread, just like weeds do. And some ways to combat this, we just sang in the song, to renew our minds. And this is from Romans 12:2. And we can renew our minds by filling it with scripture. In 2 Timothy 3, it says that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for rebuking, teaching, and correcting. We go back to Philippians 4:8 to dwell on things that are honorable, that are uplifting. And also in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18, it says to rejoice always, to pray constantly, and to give thanks. Because for me, I've never sinned while I was actively praying or worshiping Jesus. I don't know if any of you have ever done this, but for me, it's not possible. And if we're focused on the things that we need to be focused on, the temptation doesn't have a chance to take root and become sin. And when we're exercising our gifts and serving the body of Christ and loving those around us, it can help protect us from these things. And I know that I've mentioned a lot of references that we've talked about a lot, so I just want to give a short recap. We need to be careful what we're letting grow in our garden, whether it's the fruit of the flesh or the fruit of the spirit. Because personally, I'm not always as fruitful as I can be. And this comes from how we live, how we think, how we act. And it's not only up to the pastors or the elders or the wardens to do the work of the church. We're all called as part of the body of Christ to serve people here in LEC, to serve our neighbors and our colleagues. And it could be that you don't know what your spiritual gift is, or maybe you just don't know how to use it. If that's you, come see someone afterwards. We would love to talk to you about it. Or maybe you feel like you can't exercise your gift anymore because your garden is too full of weeds, or maybe you've been inactive for too long. If you feel like this, please come talk to somebody. Or maybe you have an idea of how you can start serving the church or the community, but you haven't had the courage to start yet. We've each been invited to the family of Christ. We've been called to join in his work. And there's not anyone that's too young or too old, that's too educated or not educated enough. If you look back through scripture and even the apostles that Jesus called, he called fishermen and tax collectors. He called a zealot. He takes people from every walk of life, and he wants you to be engaged in his work. He wants to use you to speak to your friends and your family members, because there are things that you can do that I can't do. You can connect to people in a way that no one else can. There's no one that is called to Christ by accident, and I don't think there's anyone here listening today that's here by accident. So if you need help letting go of something, maybe as I was talking, you thought immediately of a weed, something that you need to get rid of, but you don't know how to do it. If you need help, please come and talk to someone. And if you need guidance on how to get started serving, if you want to start a Bible study, or, I don't know, whatever is on your heart, if you need help to get it started, please talk to someone so that we can help you with that. We saw earlier on the presentation when we were coming in that there were 18 people signed up to make the service possible today. There's always space for you to get involved. So that's what I have for today. I'd like to say a short prayer. Father, I thank you for speaking to us. I thank you that your word is living and active. And I pray that you would help us to think about what we're putting in our lives, how we're letting things grow, and that you would help us to be faithful, to be ambassadors to those around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.